In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, amen. This Sunday, which is the last Sunday of the Holy 50 before Pentecost, is a very unique Sunday in the Coptic Church. It's actually one of the best ones. Why it's unique? Because it's between two feasts. Okay, so you guys know that we celebrated Easter however many days ago it was. And this past Thursday was 40 days after Easter. We celebrated the Ascension Feast, where our Lord Jesus Christ ascended up to heaven after being on earth with his disciples for 40 days. And then this coming Sunday, a week from today, we'll celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, when the Lord sent the Holy Spirit upon his apostles and disciples. So this particular Sunday, I have a unique term for it, and it's not a technical term, and you won't find it in any books. It's just my own little personal term. This Sunday, to me, is Pregnancy Sunday. I call it Pregnancy Sunday. Because if you were paying attention to all the readings and everything that the church is today, it's exactly like a pregnant person. Because we had something great happen, but we're really waiting for something really, really great to come even greater to come soon. Just like a pregnant person who's happy they had a baby, but not really happy until the baby comes. All the readings today focused in some way, shape, or form about waiting for something great to happen. That something great happened, but waiting for something even greater to happen. That's why the epistle of St. Paul, he wrote about how, tarry here, I'll be waiting here until this day happens. And same thing in the Acts of the Apostles, said the same thing, how he's waiting for the day of Pentecost to come for something great. So we here today, okay, something great happened, but we're really waiting for something even greater to come this coming Sunday. What is it that we're waiting for this coming Sunday? Now, here's the thing. Unfortunately, for some reason, we don't put a lot of emphasis on the Ascension Feast, which is wrong, and we don't put enough emphasis on the Pentecost Feast, which is wrong. We love Lent, we love Holy Week and Easter, and then somehow from there, it trails off. The Feast of the Ascension, like what we're celebrating these 10 days, okay, from Ascension to Pentecost, I want to say is like the most important 10 days in the entire history of the world. Because what happens on, okay, so on Easter, we're happy. Why? Because Christ rose from the dead. And in the hymns of the church, we say over and over that he is the first fruit of those who rose, or those who slept, I should say. He's the first fruit. So he rose, he died, and then he rose. And then that gives us hope and joy because we know that we're going to die. And now, because he has risen, he has defeated death by his death, he has trampled down death, we know that we can one day rise as well with him. And now, because he's ascended to heaven, it's the same thing. He showed us that our goal is not to just rise and come back to earth, but our goal is to rise and go with him and live in heaven. He opened that door for us to live in heaven. But you know, as I think about it, he rose, live in heaven. I want to live in heaven one day. But you know what? I don't want to live in heaven one day. I want to live in heaven this day. How can I live in heaven this day? Well, that's where the Pentecost comes in. Because God said, I know you're excited about to live in heaven. I know you're excited about to have the kingdom of heaven. So I'll do you one better. Instead of waiting for you to come to the kingdom, how about I bring the kingdom to you? How's that sound? Because that's exactly what happens on the Feast of Pentecost. Is the kingdom of God comes down, not on earth, but inside me. The kingdom of God descends upon the apostles and disciples in the form of the tongues of fire. The Holy Spirit descends. And because of that, they have a new life and they have a new joy. That's why on the Feast of Ascension, this is what the Acts of the Apostles that was read to us that morning, it's from Acts chapter 1, the story of Ascension. After this great thing happened on Thursday, but before Pentecost, so after Thursday, this is what the Lord said to his disciples. He said he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. He said, don't leave, but wait for something greater to happen. What, Lord? You did miracles. You healed the blind. You parted the... You walked on water. You fed the 5,000. You raised the dead. You rose from the dead. You ascended to heaven. What else is there? He says, wait. Wait. Just wait. Because why? Because not many days from now, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Here's my question for us today. All the readings spoke about a great gift that's coming. Here's God's message to us here today, that there's a great gift coming, the promise of the Father, not many days from right now. my question is, what do you do with a promise like that? How do you respond to a promise like that? More details about the promise, what the promise entails. These are just selected words that I took from today's readings from the Catholic Epistle and the Gospel about this promise that comes when the kingdom of God, when the Holy Spirit descends upon us, which again, like I said before, we're not commemorating the Holy Spirit descending upon the apostles. Who cares about that? Why would we get together to commemorate something that happened a million years ago? We're coming together to relive, just as he gives us new life, resurrection, we are coming to relive the day of Pentecost and the promise of the Father that we would be baptized and that we would have the kingdom of God descend upon us in a new way, in a way that we never experienced before. What comes with that? These are some of the promises that we should be waiting for. An inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away. Joy inexpressible and full of glory. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you, that your joy may be full. These are just selected things that I took from the readings today. Talk about the joy, and then the Pauline epistle spoke about the victory that we have, the joy, the peace, the overcome the world, the victory, the joy inexpressible, all these things. My question to you, as I said, are you ready for that? Are you ready? If you're pregnant, are you ready? Unfortunately, God is promising us now the very thing that we need most in this world. The very thing. In the end of the gospel here today, he said, in the world you have tribulation, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So he's telling us, I have overcome the world. And I would say the very thing, if I took a survey today, and I said, raise your hands if you can say, I have overcome the world. Who's walking around there today saying, yes, the world has been overcome by me? I think most of us would say the exact opposite, that I am overcome by the world. Because I come here today, and I read this beautiful promise, and I know Pentecost is coming, and it's a great thing. And on my mind is 10,000 other things. The bills I got to pay at home. The basement flooded from the rain again. My family this, my mom this, my sister this. I got things to do, and I'm busy, and all kinds of distractions, and all kinds of things. And we look at this, and we say, yeah, that's really nice. But our mind is on a million different things. There's a danger these days. I don't want to say, I don't know. Is it just me? I don't think it's just me. These days seem particularly stressful, busy, distracted. Is it just me? Am I the only one in the world? These days, the way I feel, and I'm just coming back from vacation. So when you come back from vacation stressed out, you know you've got problems in life. This is the way I feel these days, is that these days a distraction comes up. And I don't care about that distraction. I don't care. I am concentrating right here because this is Holy 50 days, and these days we're going to focus, and these days we want new life, and risen Lord, and this. And you focus. And then what happens? Another one pops up. And you focus. And then what happens? Another one. And then another one. You know the game when you go to the beach on the boardwalk and the thing that pops? You know this game? Am I the only one living this game these days? Because this is my life these days, is that every time I try to focus, something pop up. Smack it and something else pops up. And smack it, something else pops up. And there's a great danger these days that we would just cruise control into Pentecost. And that we would show up as pregnant people for the birth of the child, a life-changing event. And we just show up ho-hum, casually, distracted. A million different things. We've done Pentecost before. That means liturgy starts 15 minutes earlier than it has before. That means we have to get rid of the Fatari food because of the Siami food. And that means we got to pretend, come up with a good excuse not to fast the apostles' fast because we hate the apostles' fast. And that's what we start going through that mindset. That's very dangerous. This week, like I said, I want to say this is the most important week of our lives. If truly we're talking about, we talked about 1 year to live, we talked about 40 days to live. If truly we're preparing, if this is the last Pentecost, this is the most important week of our lives. And we have got to be keen and focused. I'll give you an example. Yesterday's quiet time is what gave me this message. Yesterday, for those who are following the church quiet time reading, came from Exodus chapter 3, famous chapter. Exodus chapter 3 is a story that we spend 43 days before Christmas singing about Exodus chapter 3. The story of the burning bush, when Moses found the burning bush. Look what happens. Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of... Oh my goodness. It's okay. See the distractions? They keep popping up. You see? It took me forever to prepare that slide, and now something else popped up. It's okay, I'll read it to you, and you pay attention. Well, you know the story, okay? Let me give you the high-level story, and I'll just read the important verse that I wanted to read. Important story is Moses, okay, grew up in Egypt, and then eventually got shipped back to Midian, which is like in the middle of nowhere, the wilderness. And he was there for how many years as a shepherd? 40. So at the very end of 40 years, after 40 years of being a shepherd, who did he work for, by the way? His father-in-law, okay? So his boss was his father-in-law. He's going about his business being a shepherd. And I've never been a shepherd, but let's say he's, you know, walking the sheep. And then he's trimming the grass. And then he's fixing the fence thing. So he's got his shepherd duties that he's doing, that he's been doing every single day, 40 years, and he's continuing to do his duties. And let's say, for the sake of just kind of imagination, that Moses is stressed out this day. Just because we're stressed out, let's make Moses stressed out as well. So Moses starts the story, doing his job, 9 to 5, working for his father-in-law. And then what happens? It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. Okay, he's walking, sees a flame. Oh my goodness, there we go. Okay, so y'all see it right there. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Okay, and here's the part I want you to concentrate on. Look how Moses responds. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. What's strange about his response? What's strange about... What is the Bible stressing on in Moses' response to this great, supernatural, once-in-a-lifetime, never-ever-going-to-happen-again event about a bush on fire? What does the Bible stress on? He turned aside. He said to himself, and he went. He didn't run to it right away. He saw it at the corner of his eye. Who knows? Maybe it was there in the morning and he missed it. Or I'm sorry, maybe it was there in the morning and he didn't turn aside. Maybe it was there last night and he didn't turn aside. I don't know. But something in him said, I have my daily duties today and I have 10,000 things to do. And the easy thing is just look at it and say, that was cool, that was neat, and then you get back on with the day-to-day duties. That's what we would do. That's exactly what we do. Because we come here and we read this promise, we have many distractions on our mind, and we read this promise and we say, this is very nice. And then we get back to the day-to-day, and we back to the appointments, and back to the to-do list, and back to the voicemails, and back to the phone calls. Now Moses. Moses said, he turned aside. He said, you know what? I'm going to stop my daily duties. But Moses, you got to water the sheep, or they're going to die. They can wait. Moses, your boss is your father-in-law. You can't do it while working hours. Your father-in-law is your boss. He can mess you up at work and mess you up at home if you mess with this one person. He said, you know what? I need to be here. This is something holy. This is something special. And then look what the underlined part. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, that's when he spoke. The Lord didn't speak out of the burning bush until he saw it. Moses turned aside. And my greatest fear is there's a great promise. There's a burning bush that is here in front of us all. And my greatest fear is we go about our day-to-day duties because we are distracted and because we are busy and because we are anxiety and we are stressed out and we have appointments and we have voicemails to get back to and we have all this kind of stuff and we miss this great burning bush that God has put in front of us. My question to you is, what will you do with this burning bush this week? You came to church today, and 100% you had 10,000 things on your mind. Everyone here had 10,000 things on their mind today. You have 10,000 things that you need to do this week. And you have 10,000 things that need your attention this week. My question is a bush just lit on fire in front of you? Will you turn aside? or you keep doing your daily duties? Will you turn aside to see what this is and to hear the voice of God in it? Because you have to keep this in mind, that if we're talking about the day of Pentecost, there is no more important day in the history of the, like, if you look at the disciples and all the things that Jesus did, and what changed them the most, nothing more than Pentecost. It wasn't miracles that changed them. It wasn't when they fasted that changed them. It wasn't when they went up on the mountain that changed them. They did all those things, and it did like this, it did like this, it did like this, and then one day did like this. That's a special day. Now you say, but I attended this day many times in the past and never special. Simple. You will gain exactly what you invest. Simple. Just like money, just like banks. If you invest zero, you will return zero. And for many years, maybe we have just walked into Pentecost investing zero. And that's why it's no shocker that your return on investment is zero. Because even if it's 1,000%, 10,000%, 1,000% of zero is zero. This week is a special week. Most important week ever affected St. Peter, St. John, those guys. Nothing affected them like this week at Pentecost, and it's going to be the same thing for us. But what we need to do is lift our eyes up. Like, that's my theme for this week, and this is what I encourage everyone here to do. Lift your eyes up this week, because there are going to be many of those little things that's going to pop up. Lift your eyes up. One pops up, lift your eyes up. Another one pops up, lift your eyes up. You know why Holy Week is so special? Because for one week, we don't look at these things down here. We don't look at the concerns. We don't answer the emails. We let the phone ring a few times. We don't worry so much, and we lift our eyes up. And that's why it's a special week. Well, this is another one of those special weeks that can be life-changing. First, I'll leave you with what the Lord said in the last verse of the gospel. He's talking about giving them peace, that in me you may have peace. In me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. What we want to do this week is lift our eyes up to him. And then no doubt there'll be tribulations. No doubt there'll be things that we look at, we say, but I can't leave this. We lift our eyes up and say, Lord, we trust you with this. This is a disaster. Let the Lord deal with disasters. He's dealt with disasters in the past. You've never solved any disaster in your life. He's the king of solving disasters and making good come out of disasters. Leave the disaster to him. But I don't know if he can handle this. What can't he handle? Well, I don't know how I'm going to do with this. Let him handle it. Let us lift our eyes up this week. Lift our eyes up. There's a nice song that the kids here in the school sing in the chapel time every week. It says, I will lift my eyes to the maker of the mountain I can't climb. You know that song? I will lift my eyes to the maker of the mountain I can't climb. I will lift my eyes to the calmer of the oceans raging wild. Something, something, something. It's a beautiful song. It says, instead of worrying about the mountain, let me lift my eyes to the one who created the mountain. Instead of worrying about the problem, let me lift my eyes up to the one who solves the problem. Instead of worrying about the distraction, worrying all this stuff, and losing myself, let me lift my eyes up this week to the one who gives peace and who has overcome the world and all the problems in the world. Let us lift our eyes. Let us be keen this week for our soul. Let us invest in the spiritual, not in the earthly. And I promise you, you do that for one week. I promise you. No way you come here next week on Pentecost and leave the same way. No way. It's not my promise. It's the promise of the Father, which our Lord Jesus Christ delivered by his pure lips to us today in the gospel. This is the promise of the Father that we've been waiting for. This is everything that we've been waiting for. This is the kingdom of God come within us. Let us take this week to really prepare ourselves. And glory be to God forever. Amen.